Blog Talk Radio. Well, welcome, Mindscape artists. This is Candy, your host. I hope you all are doing well. I decided to go ahead and do a show before my normal Thursday night, and I'll probably do a few more like this as needed. I've had a few requests to do some things that I do with my clients, and I want to give you some time to kind of settle in. There's no rush. I know many of you may be working from home. Some of you may be laid off, and some of you may actually be working still outside of home. This is a different time for everybody. Everybody is kind of getting used to this new way of being. And so I want to give you time to kind of adjust and come in and hand yourself over to me so I can give you back to you. If you would, just take a regular breath. It doesn't have to be that deep right now. Just pay attention to your breathing. Pay attention to your heart and feel it beating. A lot of the times we get so caught up in doing things, we get so caught up in thinking things that we do not really notice the things that are going on with our bodies until something is wrong, right? So let's just acknowledge what's right now, right? Acknowledge the fact that your heart is beating. Acknowledge the fact that you're breathing. Take a deep breath now and just say thank you. Thank you. And let's acknowledge the fact that you can hear me and that I can hear as well, right? And let's just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's thank the universe. Let's thank the Creator. Let's thank God. Let's thank ourselves for actually working with the universe in unison on our behalf as we move forward in giving thanksgiving for everything that we have. And I also want you to join me in a short meditation where we're actually closing our eyes, and as you close your eyes, I want you to imagine what your life is going to be like after the quarantine is over. Let's imagine your life a year from now. Let's give it a full four seasons. A year from now, you are alive and well. Your lungs are functioning perfectly. You're talking to someone that you trust. It could be a sister, or it could be a brother, it could be a parent. It could be someone very close to you that you think that you're going to want with you a year from now. It could be a child. It could be a family gathering. So what I'm going to imagine is I'm going to imagine my birthday next year. Okay? You can imagine whatever you want to imagine. I'm going to imagine my birthday next year, and everyone, young and old, that I love, that I hold dear to me, and even those who I've never met yet, who are supposed to be in my life, are there. Okay? And we're celebrating together. Okay? So I'm going to give you 1 minute. 60 seconds, I'm timing it right now, where you are going to imagine an event 1 year from now where you are completely happy and healthy and with a group of people that you love. You guys are touching, you guys are sharing food, you guys are hugging and kissing and touching. All right, go ahead. Okay, so I hope that you all were able to do this. For those of you who are listening or just tuning in, we just finished a short visualization of what our lives will look like 1 year from now. And I told everybody to imagine an event where they are congregating with people that they love, that they hold dear, that they are touching, sharing food, hugging, celebrating. I imagined my birthday next year with my whole family, right? So that little bit of imagining is God. That's you creating your life. That's you blocking out the things that you see out here. And that's you literally ignoring that reality, literally, long enough to tap into your creative power to manifest the end result that you desire, your heart's desire, not the reality that's been implanted, thrusted upon you, but the one that was birthed in you. Right? So if you imagine yourself a year from now happy and healthy and sharing, nothing can happen to you. You've just manifested a beautiful, happy, healthy life a year from now. Now, if you want, you can do this and take it out even further. Just create a marker that is specific to that time frame. So my marker was the number 51 on my birthday cake. Okay? I'll be able to see that, right? So I know that when I manifest that, I have incorporated a timeline there. Okay? That's just a little skill that if you practice it, and you will be amazed at the results. So we're going to talk about how to emerge through emergencies. And I need a minute with my people. And then after I talk with you all, I'm going to bring in callers, and we're going to have a conversation around this. I was thinking today about emergency, the word emergency. An emergency is an unforeseen combination of circumstances resulting in a call for immediate action. Okay? And I guess you can consider this an emergency because a series of events have happened and there is some action that needs to be taken. Well, we are human beings, and we have been given a particular set of skills that we're supposed to be using whenever emergencies happen, right? But sometimes, because we all judge each other, we're thinking that somebody should do this and somebody should do that, and there are things that need to be coordinated and people that need to cooperate, and sometimes those things don't appear to be coming together. However, there is always something behind the scenes that's greater than what we see. And this is where we are to be operating from. Okay? Yeah, we can keep up with the news. I love keeping up with what's going on to a degree, But I never lose my ground because I know where I've got to come back to. So I have to keep my center, right? So in the word emergency, we have emerge, which means to arise from an obscure or inferior position or condition, or to come into being through evolution. So we have the opportunity to emerge through this emergency. And if you think back, I've had a lot of emergencies in my life. If you think back on the emergencies that you've had in your life, how many of you can say you've emerged from that with more skill, more knowledge, more faith? I have grown immensely from my emergencies, from my crises, right? And when we talk about the animals, we talk about the creatures, right? We refer to them as creatures or animals. When we talk about us, we refer to ourselves as human beings, right? So to come into being through evolution, human beings evolve through being, meaning we emerge through emergencies. So as you had that scene that I walked you through in the very beginning, where you push yourself out a whole year from now and you imagine yourself emerging, celebrating life with the people you love and touching and hugging and sharing, you just emerged. You just put it out in the universe, and the universe has to honor that. That will not come back void. You just sent it out there. But you have to believe and allow for that to happen, okay? Now, how do you emerge? Well, number one is you have to learn how to be in something but not of it. And I talk about this a lot because it's about being connected. Attached means that you're not worried. You're not concerned about the outcome, right? You're in the moment, right? And if you even look, and I have to refer to some of my people who listen, who all they read is the Bible. I read gazillions of books, and the Bible happens to be one of them. But for people who only read the Bible, for people who don't even read at all, which, no judgment, John 8:23 says, "You are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not of this world." Now, whenever I quote Bible scripture, I'm not reading it from a religious standpoint. I'm always reading it from a metaphysical standpoint. So when we talk about the Father, we're talking about the Source, the Creator, the Source, the Higher Self, the I Am, okay? When we talk about the Mother, I'm talking about the Deliverer, the Subconscious. Right? We're talking about that dream state that you're in, that part of you that you're not always aware of, that part of you that's operating in the background. Okay? And when we talk about the Son, I'm talking about the persona, the conscious part of you, God manifested here on earth, how God acts through us. So when you talk about God, God manifests through our actions. So what we do represents God. What we do, how we act, all right? Talk about responsibility. It's your responsibility to bring God forth. That's your responsibility. God is what? God is love. It's your responsibility to love you. It's your responsibility to love your fellow man. All right? So when you sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. I always tell people, imagine you holding your world, because you just manifested something in your world. You manifested your next birthday. You manifested your next big event for next year where you're happy and you're healthy. You just created that. And when you believe that and live in that, and when you be that, it's got to happen. Right? So, astrologically, the father represents Saturn, mother represents moon, and sun represents persona, right? Where you get your sun sign from. So you have all of these things that you can connect the dots with that kind of make things kind of jump out and stand out, right? But all of these things are inside of you. The I am, the dream state, the manifesting power, that's all in you. So when you read something, you're reading instructions on how to make things happen for you. And then what happens? You automatically shift the power from what's out there to what's in here. That's the first thing of how to be in but not of. Okay, number two. You have to understand, meaning have knowledge. You have to have some knowledge of what's going on out there. Not a lot. You don't have to know everything, but you need some knowledge, know what's going on, and you need to move that knowledge into wisdom. Okay? So you have the knowledge. The wisdom is the application of the knowledge, and the faith is the ability to act through that. Okay? Well, knowledge can represent your outer world, wisdom can represent your inner world, and the faith is the ability to blend those two worlds without attachment, once again, yet remain connected. How do you do that? Well, you're starting to do it already. You must change the concept of yourself. That's where everything starts. What you think about yourself is what's going to happen. It's what's going to be. That's a guarantee, how you think about yourself. If you think of yourself as powerless, you're going to be powerless. If you think of yourself as a creator, you're going to create things. If you think of yourself as a victim, you're going to be a victim. If you think of yourself as an overcomer, you're going to be an overcomer. So changing the concept of yourself, but understand the play with words. I was reading an article, and it was talking about how some of the numbers through this is going on, and I have to use this as an example because it's a perfect example of words. And this is why reading and getting different viewpoints and being able to have some knowledge of your own within yourself and feeling what resonates with you and going with that rather than being swept away is so important. And so this article was saying how the play on words where people are who are having these diseases pre-corona are being labeled on their death certificate as dying from the coronavirus when they're not dying from the virus. They're dying with the virus, and being that the virus is in pretty much everybody, you know, on some level, they're going to have, many of them are going to have that in there, and they're going to have those antibodies in them. So when somebody, and this happened to someone that we know, where they actually had a pre-existing condition, and they got sick, and they really died from that pre-existing condition, but they labeled them as dying with the coronavirus. So that makes the numbers look very, very large. So what you have to look for, just this one thing, look for someone dying with the coronavirus versus somebody dying of the coronavirus. Just like when I was talking about being in the world, not of the world. That's why it's very important to know what things mean. Look beyond what you're told. Understand that there's something way bigger than your conscious mind can conceive, which is why you have to go to that higher place, that I am place, that doesn't even have to think about it. But you just have that faith and that wisdom to be able to blend those two worlds, yet remain connected to your higher self, yourself, your loved ones, but definitely not attached to what's going on out here. The third thing is you got to have discipline. And through suffering, whether we like it or not, we gain discipline. And many people have had a very hard time with discipline. I've heard people overeating, over drinking, over smoking, over doing everything, over shopping online. We're all overdoing something because we're being confronted with our own discipline or lack thereof. This is a perfect opportunity to go within and practice that discipline. This emergency is showing you where you need to emerge. It's a great, great marker as to where you need to be personally. They're telling people to stop smoking because when you smoke, your lungs are less resilient. So I know people who are working on that. You know, they're telling people they need to lose weight. They need to get their diabetes under control. They're saying that the African American community is supposed to be hit the hardest because of their pre-existing conditions. Okay? Now, that's not to say that you get in a point where you're actually believing that to where you feel helpless. But again, that's just knowledge that you can turn into wisdom, that you can move into faith with. This is the time to look at where you need to emerge and emerge there. It is a great, great time. So, without further ado, I definitely am going to bring in someone, and we're going to continue and expand this conversation. Okay. Hello?
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, Harold.
Yes.
Well, hey. Welcome, Pastor. How are you?
Oh, how are you? I'm just listening to the emerge message. The
yeah.
message of emerge.
Emerge. Yeah. What do you think
emergency
about that?
Emerge. Oh man. What? Hey, you know, sometimes in the church, what people would do, see, there would be this preacher that would come and really preach good, and then the preacher would preach so good that maybe the host pastor or whoever was presiding would try to get up behind the person and, like, because it was so good to them, not that they were trying to grandstand, but it was just so good to them, and they would try to come behind them and do it all over again. And I used to look at that and say, oh, I wish they'll just sit down and leave it alone. And that's how I feel. I don't feel like I need to say anything because you said it all. Like, I can't – there is – listen, I'm lockjaw over here. I'm listening. You're giving us what we need. You're helping us to see more clearly. We're seeing through a glass. If we were seeing through a glass darkly before we got on the call, we can see more clearly now. I can see clear now that the rain is gone. You helped it. You helped to, you know, it's raining in Durham, North Carolina. And but even I can see the rain, it's passing over, and you just help me to see some things clearly. You help people on the phone to see some things clearly as we're how we emerge in this emergency. Yes.
Do you have any ways that you feel you have emerged?
Oh my goodness. Now what's you know, one of these before the whole social distancing or being distant from people, I was doing that. I was doing it before, and it's almost like I was of course I did not foresee any of this, but
right.
I could sense something months ago. And so a lot of things I was already putting in place, and so, yes, I have seen myself grow. I have been in the flow since everything has hit, because I was doing it. So I've seen myself grow, and I've had an opportunity to really, look at myself. You were talking about some things as far as, things that we need to look at, as far as our self goals, overdoing some things or not doing some things enough of. One of the things that I'm looking at as an African American male, knowing that we usually check out of here before, African American women, my health, how am I eating? What am I overindulging in? What can I do, or how am I doing during this time of downtime, having a lot of time to really go back into myself and to really see myself. And how am I bettering myself that, when things lift, because they will, although, I know things won't be the same, but when they lift, how will I see myself differently? How will I be able to say that I emerged while the emergency was happening? How did I lift off? And will I be excited about that? Everyone else is, losing it, but
right.
Am I emerging? And am I, so your message really, begin to challenge me, even though this is something that I'm, that I'm doing, but it's reflection. It helps me to self-reflect, introspect, look in the mirror image. I love how you used what we know as biblical scripture, but you used it for the everyday man and woman to say this really does not have to be, what we call, religious. But this has to do, honestly, with you. I love that, because it does.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of, And so, yes, I'm seeing myself, and I'm feeling good about, and by what you're giving, it's helping me to know that I think I'm on track.
I think the most important thing, if nobody gets anything, and this is something that I've just seen and tested, we're creatures of habit.
Yes.
But the universe is not. The universe switches up on us, and it recreates things. It makes, it creates mountains and valleys, and it does all these different things and crooks and turns. We have wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
We have desert. We have water. We have land, we have the sky, we have so many different things, and then it gets mixed all up in the weather, and different things happen. It rains one day, and it's sunny the next day, it's windy one day, and it's snowing another day. It's
yes.
The universe is changing all the time, And
yeah,
our
right.
bodies are changing all the time.
Mm,
our bodies
yes.
are changing. Our bodies are healing. Our bodies are rejuvenating. When we're sleeping, we're dreaming. We're coming up with new concepts. All these different things are happening, but the mind, it wants to lock us into familiarity.
Right, right.
And the mind wants to protect, quote unquote, us from change because it's unfamiliar. You don't know what that is, so you don't want to go down that road. You want to take the same route every day. You want to eat the same things. You want to do the same things. You want to,
yeah.
you know. But the universe shakes it up, and when the universe does that, depending on how well you can go with that, like you said, you're in the flow, depending on how well you can ride, will determine everything about how your life will be. You can either ride the wave, and the wave will bring you into shore, or you can fight the wave, and the current can just take you away into nowhere, and you can be lost at sea. Right? And if you even look at the metaphor and go deeper, our emotions represent water, or water represents
yes.
our emotions. And when things happen, it is up to us as the captain of our own ship to master the water, to say, okay, the current is doing this. I need to steer this way, steer that way, back off. I need to go full throttle. I need to coast. I need, you know, you got to be able to move with that thing. But
right,
if you
right.
freeze up, you're going to be over. You're going to be swallowed up. So this is the perfect time to practice discipline of the emotions. Me and my children's father, we were on the phone. We were laughing today, talking about how much we like potato chips. And I was like, you know, despite the fact that I fast 2 days out of the week, and I'm actually, despite the fact that I fast 2 days out of the week and I'm actually eating less because I've actually not been as active, I've still gained that weight. I'm trying to bring you in. I see you.
Okay.
I still have gained that weight. I still gained like 3 or 4 pounds, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm still, you know, gaining weight. So despite the fact that I think I'm controlling it, right, my body is adjusting. It's adjusting, right? So when my mind sees the scale moving upward, I'm like, what's going on? What is going on, right? So something told me, source said, calm down. Just like you going through an adjustment, your body's going through an adjustment. It is calibrating. It's calibrating. It's getting used to this new way of being for a moment here. Give it time. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't get discouraged. Don't beat yourself up. And focus on something else, you know.
Wow.
And that's really what we have to do. We have, when things are not going exactly the way our tiny brain tells us it should go, then we have to move to the big brain, and we have to let go of control. See, the big brain doesn't really need control. So
right.
the big brain will literally see the big picture, you know, not the little
right.
tiny thing that we stay focused on, and
right.
say, keep doing what you're doing. Keep going out for walks every day. Keep minimizing what you're eating. Keep talking to your friends and connecting. Keep reading. Keep writing. Whatever it is that you're doing, keep doing it if it's for the betterment of you, and be detached from the results. Because who knows how it's going to end up, but you know if you're doing the right things during this period of time, you're going to be elevated. You're going to be elevated.
Right. Yeah. And that part right there, like knowing that, and that's where you you lose what we call faith. And you go and you graduate to knowing, if there's a difference.
It is.
There's a great difference between faith and mm-hmm. knowing something. And
yeah.
When you know something, so if I know that if I'm doing the right thing, then everything's going to, regardless of, it's got to work out. I don't have faith on that. I'm not hoping. Like, I know it. I mean, regardless of, it has to work out. Like, because,
right.
And the reason why is because it parallels with the right thing. So me knowing that I'm doing right and I'm actually intentionally doing right, it parallels with the right thing or doing the right thing and the right thing happening for me. So I win, regardless of, I'm always winning. I'm winning within myself, and then I'm winning to wherever I'm going, I'm winning, because I'm winning within myself. And me knowing I'm winning within myself, I'm always going to win as I'm on the right path, doing the right thing. And this is why it's symbolic in the scripture that Jesus, you know, scripture says he sits on the right hand of the Father. The disciples threw their net on the right side of the boat and caught all the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Something is always happening on the right side. And
mm-hmm.
so when you're on the right side is the strong side, because the right side is your spirit side and the two become one. And then the human learns how to being. So, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I love that. I love that. I love that whole doing the right thing, and the right thing is going to happen for you.
That's right. That's right. And it's right for you. What's
yes.
right for you
right.
may not be right
yes.
for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. And that is where practicing and proving and testing for yourself comes, because I can't tell you what I'm doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
expect you to do that, and if you don't, then you're
right.
wrong.
Right.
You know, I don't know what that sound is. You hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
I don't know what that is. It's something in here, but yeah. So with all of this going on, and oh my God, the Facebook timeline has gotten so crowded with information.
Mm.
I mean, it's blowing up to the point where I didn't even want to put any of my stuff up. I was like, people are just getting overloaded. And I just want people to know they don't have to listen to any of this. You know, if
right.
somebody doesn't want to, they don't have to listen to any of this. They can tune me out. They can tune everything out if they want to. I have pulled a card,
right.
and it's called Worlds Within Worlds. It says, peace
mm.
comes within the souls of men when they realize their oneness with the universe, when they realize it is really everywhere. It is in each one of us. And it's this card that serves as a reminder to look within yourself for answers. It's wonderful that you're so open to the opinions of others, but be discerning. Use your inner knowledge and decipher and interpret what feels right for you. Many look for the source of all life outside of themselves. But if you truly wish to connect to that greater pool of conscious love, look within. Inside you, the cosmic universe spans with inner worlds and stars. Yes, inside of you. You are master and creator of the worlds and galaxies within you. How you are as that creator ultimately affects the outer world that you are a part of. See yourself as the greater body, and within you, the cell that also needs to hold its vibration and healthy light. You as a creative master can affect your cells. We need to hear that. You as a creative master can affect your cells or worlds by your thoughts, actions, and words. Raising the healthy light of your cells raises your own vibrational light, thus raising the planetary light as a whole. If one cell in your body is imbalanced and sick, that sickness slowly starts to spread to the rest of your body. See the earth as a cell in the body of universal energy. It is vital that the vibration of this earth is raised to positivity, affect this greater universal body. You are a creative God of infinite power and light. The more you come to understand this truth, the more you will be amazed by the power you hold as an individual to manifest and bring about peace and change. And that affirmation is, I am love, expanding and growing in power, clarity, and truth. How appropriate.
Wow. That was absolutely beautiful. I literally, as you're reading that, I'm feeling the vibrational tone off of every single word in my soul. And it's literally, I can feel the breath of God as you were literally saying that. Because the thing is, and if you're on this call, I really want you to check out this part. As Dr. Candy was, she was reading. I don't know if you might have been so taken by the octave of her voice, and it kind of put you in a meditative, peaceful, you know, nothing abrasive, nothing attacking, but kind of peaceful, meditative. And she knew the right tone to go in, and what happened was, because she was in the tone, is able to connect. What happened is some of you made a great connection in frequency. So you connected in frequency. There was absolutely no static. It was direct connect. Direct connect, and because we were in the right frequency. I know I was in the right frequency. I know because of her tone, I connected with her tone. So the frequency, it was transferred. So there was a transfer. And there was literally words of life that came from her soul as she read in the tone that she did and connected in the frequency to where we could all eat. And I want to say, Dr. Candy, it was good.
Well, that's all right, because that is the intention, to connect through these vibrational frequencies that we have access to. I think people forget the power that we have to speak to ourselves, to command ourselves. I think it's just amazing because you can feel it, right? Opening up your chest, breathing and the heartbeat and just the whole coming together, because before you came on, I had everybody pay attention to those things, because we get so caught up in thinking that we don't pay attention to those things that go on behind the scenes automatically. The things that we don't see are the most important, right? I can't see my breath, you know? I can't see my eyes looking out there, but I'm seeing through them, but I can't look at my own eyes. I can't see the things that are happening automatically with me. I can't see my heart beating. I can't see it. But those are the most important things that we have in order to sense what's going on around us. So being in touch with that invisible force, the things that we can't see, it's so important. Speaking of faith, is that whole thing of just believing in what you can't see, right? And then the practice of that leads to knowing, you know, because then you move from even believing. You know, when people say, oh, I don't believe in that. Well, you don't have to believe in the fact that you're breathing, do you? You don't have to believe in it. It just is, right? It's something that you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have faith.
Right.
That's going to happen. You know?
Come on.
You just know that you're breathing, right? Now, when you can't breathe, because I've been in a point where I can't breathe, and I say, oh, my God, now I know that I'm not breathing. Okay, now I have to be conscious of it, And I never had to be conscious of it before. Now, emergency. Emergency.
Go ahead.
Brings to light the things that we were unconscious of. And that is the beautiful thing about an emergency. I wasn't aware of my breath before until I couldn't breathe. And then once I became aware of my breath, what happened? I wanted to know, how do my lungs work? Oh, my God, once I realized how my lungs work, then I wanted to know, well, God, how does my nervous system work? Well, my nervous system actually triggers the operation of my respiratory system, and then my respiratory system reacts to the environment, which sends signals to my brain, which goes back into my nervous system. And I'm like, oh, my God, that whole thing came alive to me. And guess what happened? I began to rule over my respiratory system, because remember I was reading from the Gospel of Thomas that said, let man seek until he finds, and when he finds, he'll be troubled. And when he's troubled, he will discover, he will be amazed, and when he's amazed, he will rule over all. Well, I became educated, the knowledge, through that emergency, which turned into wisdom, which turned into the faith to be able to walk in that wisdom, which now is just a knowing, so that I can continue to be able to breathe, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening now.
Yeah, and the thing is that when you really begin to, you know, when you really begin to take it, like, you know, just like you spoke out of the Gospel of Thomas, people don't realize there are certain things that were removed from even our what we call our 66, because there are some things that will get you a little bit closer to the truth, because it speaks a little bit more directly. And once you start to get your sight, you can better understand or see. Or the I see, or I can see now. So the I is seeing. I can see now what these words are coming, how they are connecting with me. And, you know, they can come off the page, or they come from someone. So it doesn't matter if it comes off of the page. The scripture says we're now a living epistle. That's why we're hearing Dr. Candy tonight. So her words are coming from her soul. She quoted from off of the page of the Gospel of Thomas, but the tone resonated, and so we connected, or we can connect. It's optional. You want to connect. You can connect and get it in the right frequency. Once the connection happens, there's a portal that literally comes from off of wherever that's coming from right to your soul.
Right.
And that's download. That's a download right there. And so I love what you just did when you did, because now Thomas says that, and, you know, Solomon says it, and he repeats one of the same things in the book of Ecclesiastes. And this is what I'm trying to get over to people, that this scripture is so coded, but it's so life. And so there's all these different codes. It's like this. I don't know if anyone on the phone has ever had what I would call a puzzle piece. Some people have these 5,000 pieces of puzzle or 1,000, and then, you know, you just kind of throw them all out and you got to put those things together. Well, that's the same way it is, like, about life in general. It's just a big puzzle piece. And what happens is that we have a little bit of time to build on the puzzle piece and to see. You really already have this picture of what it is, but you got to go down in your soul to be able to find that. And so when you do that and you go down in there, you're going to meet some people that are also that they like to go down in theirs too. And so if you got these people that can, you know, kind of go down in their soul, then you can hear people like Dr. Candy, and when she says something, you're able to say, wow, you know, I've never heard that before, but there's something that resonates with you. Why? Because her tone is connected. You're knowing the tone in your subconscious place or in your soul, and then because you're then the frequency, then you say, uh-oh, I'm connected. I'm now because you know that energy, it's a peace. That's the same thing in you. And then that and you feel good about it, and the tone literally resonates, and right then the frequency is connecting. There's no static, and there's direct connect, and then you're able to receive. And that's what's happening on this call as far as emerging. So many of your people are emerging because the tone is always just beautiful because it's soulful.
And you know what I think that may come from? I could be wrong, but it could definitely come from authenticity and living it for so long.
Come on.
That it is so inside and inside and out. I really think that is what it is, aside from other aesthetics. Because when you bring it to my attention, I feel it, and I know exactly what you're talking about. But because it's so automatic, I don't even think about it. But you're right. You're right. And I think even when I do my hypnosis on my clients, they're like, oh, my God, I've gone under before, but I've never gone under like that. And you're not even going under like that. It's so much it's just a journey that you go on with them, and they feel like you're just walking with them on this journey. And I think that being immersed in it and it coming from the soul is the tone that you're hearing. That's the tone of the soul that you're hearing.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
And when that happens, it connects, which is why it's, you know, anyone that would choose you to, you know, kind of guide them just in whatever path that they're looking for. That's one of the things I know that you have, in a sense, I would say, You're a master in that place. You figured it out. You did. You literally figured that out. Like you got it, big time. And you know, and it's very distinct. I mean, you literally found your own lane with that because it is extremely powerful.
Wow,
it captures. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because honestly, when you're doing stuff, you don't even realize it. So I appreciate you shining that light on there for me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've been seeing a lot is what I want people to get out of this is to take the information that they're getting and be able to apply to them. Now, you know, outside of this, I'm a digger for information, and everybody doesn't want to do that. It can overwhelm people. So I'm real, real particular about bringing information to people. Because you don't want people to get on information overload because we do not know what people are dealing with on a regular basis. And there are times when people are in distress. And I have to say, are they looking for a solution or are they just looking for some relief?
Some people don't want a solution.
Some people just want relief for that moment. Because solutions can kind of overwhelm people. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
You know, I agree. But, you know, I don't even know if people even know. You know, I mean. We're not going to even contrast the solutions to the religion. I don't even know if. People know, Dr. Candy. I'm gonna be, you know, Dr. Candy. I just had a sister to Shawana.
Uh-huh.
She said, I haven't seen you on lately. And I thought that like really kind of touched my heart. But, you know, I've just been looking lately. I've been listening to preachers. I've been looking at people. I've been looking at people's posts. And I'm Dr. Candy. People just don't know. They don't know. The stuff that we're talking about on it, they don't know. And, you know, like, you know, I'm gonna turn it up a notch. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that I really play down. I don't say a lot. I mean, I say a lot, but I don't say a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm gonna turn it up because, you know, let's just go with your thought. Your thought was this. You said, you know, yeah, I heard you say earlier you didn't even put yourself out because people were getting overload and things like that. But there is a difference with a Dr. Candy. There's a difference with a Harold Timberlake. This is what I mean. I'm not putting no one else down or anything like that. But see, yeah, people may be getting overloaded or bombarded with a lot of words, a lot of prophecies, a lot of prayers, and a lot of whatever,
yeah,
entertainment or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there is something that when something comes across as real, because they've been so bombarded with a lot of other stuff, they actually may miss it for a long time. But I believe, Dr. Candy, in this season, that we've got to continue to be consistent because we have something that's real. you see what I'm saying? We're not playing games. We're not guessing. We're not like hoping. I'm not talking faith. I'm not even talking Jesus. Matter of fact, Dr. Candy, I got a word, right? I got a word for anyone on this call. I don't know who's on this call. I got a word that I'm getting ready to put out for Sunday. And I heard the Holy Spirit in my soul say, take your eyes off Jesus. Take the focus off Jesus. Put the focus on self, and that's when you will see me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Take the focus off Jesus. Put the focus on self, and that's when mm-hmm. you'll see me, which is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the focus has been Jesus. But mm-hmm. in this time, the focus has to now come back to the self.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a responsibility within the self. And when you begin to take introspect and responsibility with the self, God said, that's when you'll see me.
Now
I
have 919-309 on. I'm going to let you talk in just a second. You wrap. I'm not rushing you, but
I didn't want 919 to hang up. No. let them come in, please. Let them come
okay.
in. They may have
okay.
something. Go ahead. Yeah.
919, you there? Are you just listening?
Yes, I'm here, but this is my first time, and so I'm just observing right now.
Okay. I'll put you back on mute, okay? Welcome.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Pastor Timberlake, this is what I'm going to say to that. And I have to say this for my group of people, but it's for everybody, but in particular my Mindscape people, because and for the caller that's on, you can go to my Mindscape artist group. You can look, if you happen to be on the website, or the blog talk, there's some links down there if you want to join the group, because after we finish sometimes I may say something or put up a blog or something like that. But when it comes to Jesus, Jesus is us, you know, representative of
yes.
us. Jesus is God's idea of man.
Thank you.
So this is why I like to remove the idea that Jesus is this person that we're supposed to worship or even be like or anything. There's just nothing to it. Jesus is you. And for code. Jesus is code for you. So what
code,
you're
yeah.
talking about is actually very correct in how to present it, because people get blinded by that. You know, they are thinking that they have to be perfect. When you look at the example of Jesus, Jesus did everything against everything. You know, Jesus followed the higher self. And that's
right.
what we're here to do, to follow the higher self. So when you have a higher self and you have that purpose tied together, then you're doing things that don't make sense to other people. You're saying things. You're saying stupid stuff like, I and the Father are one. These works I do, so shall ye do also. You're saying stupid stuff like that, and people say you're blaspheming and they want to kill you and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's the story, right?
Right.
So you have to come out of that if you're trying to be that example, because Jesus was bold enough to come out of that. Jesus wasn't even allowed in the temples. Jesus got kicked out of Nazareth. Jesus wasn't welcome. And
right.
So when I speak of, that's why I always have to let people know that when I'm speaking of scripture, when I'm speaking of the Bible, I'm nowhere near talking about the Jesus that anybody thinks of or knows from their church, because that's such a tight box. That's a tight, tight box. And the Jesus that I know, the example, the Christ consciousness that I know can't fit in that box. So that what you
not
heard
at all.
Was that out of the box. You just took Jesus out of the box. And you took that Christ consciousness and you elevated it, and now people can really get to it. Thank you.
Now, really, and I'll tell you that's how I heard it in my soul, and immediately it would resonate. And the way you just put it, I love it. I absolutely love it. Another scripture, that John 14:20, beautiful scripture. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I mean, right there. It keeps saying it over and over and
over and over
and over again. So we take the Jewish Messiah with the Greek name out. We did that. That's forget that. Just but the concept of that consciousness. Let this mind. So now my mind has become the Christ conscious mind, and now I know that is in me. So now I'm looking at the self, because there's responsibility in my own resurrecting from the dead place. Now I can see again through the light, which is the spirit. And after that, once I start to see self, then I can go to the light, the Father. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father, or the Spirit knows my spirit, but through me, the light, the Christ consciousness, the mindset, so I can get to the Father.
That's
and so now we're taking that Jesus. So Jesus has to be removed. And I told the sister that when I come back, I'm going to come back a little bit different, because I ain't never said nothing like this before. And that when I say it, it's going to resonate. I've never said anything like this before. because it wasn't given to me until right now. Now I can say that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Some people know the Holy Ghost. Holy that in my soul. Now I know the voice of God, and that's what I said. I've been listening of all this, like you were saying, people bombarding with overloaded information. Yeah, they may bombard overload with information, but there is something that we have where our tone is a little bit different. And when we say it, somebody's going to know it's the truth.
Yes, it penetrates.
They'll feel
it
in their soul. That's right.
Now, that subconscious, that soul, that's the mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mother,
yes.
You know?
Right.
That's that thing that you can't really explain, right?
Right.
comes only through doing that.
Yeah.
People sense.
Right.
That's that frequency,
right.
That invisible frequency that pops up. And,
yeah.
You know, people are definitely going to feel that because this is what happens. When you remove
religion. I'm preaching that on Sunday. That's my Sunday message. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. You know, everybody else is going to be free. That's my Easter message. I got me a whole Easter message. You're going to be crazy.
When you remove the religious Jesus.
Yeah.
And you replace it with the Christ consciousness.
Come on.
This is
on.
What happens. You
come
change
on, come
the
on.
Concept of the people. You help
Ooh.
People change the concept of themselves. Because the Bible is a code book for human evolution.
Come on.
Because it is a code book written with you in it, and Jesus as the example, when you put the religion in it, and I don't have anything against religion. It's just that religion, people can't see because religion is connected to fear, culture, and politics. People have a hard time truly applying it the way that it was supposed to be applied. So if I give you something and I say, this is a magic wand. Imagine me giving you a magic wand and I tell you that you have to use it perfectly. And I say, if you mess up, you're going to get struck down, you're going to lose your soul, you're going to go to hell. So I say, but here's the wand. Now, your focus is messing up, getting struck down, and going to hell. You got this powerful wand in your hand. But the wand has no power if it's not connected to your soul. And it can't connect to your soul if you're afraid. When you remove the fear, i.e. religion, politics, and culture, the person can now directly put that in their hand, and it can connect to the conduit of the soul, and thus the power is being realized. Now, eventually what happens is that person exercises that power in their soul through that wand. And eventually, guess what? They put that wand down, and then the next thing, you know, all they have to do is think it, and it happens. So this is how the process goes when you really remove religion out of the Bible and you use it in a metaphysical, spiritual, applicable way.
Yes.
Okay.
It changes everything.
Everything. Everything. I don't need
everything.
To come to you for prayer. After a while, I don't need to come to you for prayer. Now, I might want to. I might
want to. And it's okay.
And it's okay.
And that's all.
It's okay.
That's right. It's all right.
But,
yes.
And if I want to, you're there. Thank you.
Yes. I'm here.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I don't have to.
But you don't have to. You don't have to.
Because
now,
guess what? I have
go ahead.
It in my hand, in my heart,
in, your
in
head.
My head.
Yeah,
it's marked.
In your soul. It's there.
It's there.
Now you have the mind of Christ. You are very conscious of your soul. There's a soul consciousness. Now your heart is right. Now watch this. The scripture says this in Matthew 5. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see.
See God. Yeah.
God. They shall see God. So now I have the mind of Christ. Now my heart is pure. I'm conscious of my soul. And now I'm seeing God in who? In me.
In me.
And
I can't see God over there.
The
I can't see God all the way up in the sky. I can't see God up there.
I can't. I never have.
I can't. I'm never
going to
see
else
God over
either.
There.
And nobody else is either. But guess who they can see according
yeah.
to what the scripture says? They can run to the fastest mirror and see their self. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, take Jesus out of it, focus on self, and then you'll see me. And it fulfills
That's
what
all.
The scripture says in Genesis 1:26 and 1:27. That's word.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the Holy
mm-hmm.
Ghost. I heard, but it's gonna upset a lot of people though, Dr. Candy. It's gonna upset people because they say,
what
no,
did the Gospel
it,
of Thomas
only,
say? Let man
oh,
seek.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I
let
know.
Man seek, and when he seeks, he finds, and when he finds, he's gonna be troubled, and when he's troubled, he's gonna be in awe.
He sure
and
is.
When,
and Solomon,
and when he's in
that's
awe,
right.
Then the light bulb goes off, and then he rules over all.
Ooh, I feel it. I feel
so you're here to trouble the people. It's okay.
I know. And I'm okay with it.
I know
okay.
You are.
I'm fine. I just had to get to where I got to. Because it's only right that people know the truth. And so many people, just like you said, people are being bombarded with so much. But Dr. Candy, you got a truth. I know I got a truth. I know you got a truth.
Yeah.
You got something that's changing people's world. Not just their lives, but the world. Because if I change myself, I change the world.
And you remember when I was talking about when we're in this quarantine, this reminded me, when we're in this quarantine and we're like, okay, I don't want to gain a whole lot of weight and I want to stay healthy because I want my immune system to be strong and blah, blah, blah. This is a normal way of life for me. I think like this all the time. But particularly since my activity level has changed. And then
right.
I was, you know, I gained those few little pounds and then I was like, oh, man, this is not doing me any good. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was like this when I was coming out doing this same blog talk 10 years ago, and I was, and then nobody was really paying attention. And then when I stopped it, years went by, and people were like, "Well, where'd you go? Where'd you go?" I'm like, "Well, y'all weren't really listening. I didn't think you guys were." No, we were looking forward. We were doing. So, they are listening, you know. But sometimes it doesn't seem like it. So you have to continue to talk because. And I'm talking to myself because I know you don't have, but I had that issue where I was like, you know what? I'm not going to keep doing these things every Thursday, every Saturday, or whenever I was doing them at the time, and nobody's listening. But, oh, my gosh, so many people are being drawn now to the things that I didn't think people were interested in when I was bringing it out, you know.
Come on.
What I'm gonna read here, because we were talking about earlier emerging through emergencies, and I found what I was reading where we're talking about I am the light of the world, and consciousness is the eternal light which crystallizes only through the medium of your conception of yourself. This is so important. This is so important because you can preach and talk all day long. But if people don't have the correct concept of themselves, if they have a distorted view of themselves, the message is going to be distorted.
Come on.
The concept you have of yourself is everything, okay? The concept that we have of ourselves, as a collective, as African Americans, the concept we have of ourselves as any race or any religion or any culture, any political affiliation, that whole concept that we're actually born into colors everything from the beginning. And you're kind of asleep the first 7 years when you get here, and those things are just thrusted upon you, what your mom believes, your dad believes, your great-grandparents, grandparents. You got a whole lot of history in your DNA that just uploaded in you when you got here, and you had to sort all of that out when you started being troubled. When you started going through your own emergencies, when you started going through your own crises, when you started going through your own experiences, you started having to sift out, okay, what is powerful for me and what is useless to me? What do I need and what don't I need? What do I need to shed? What do I need to keep? What do I need to acquire? And there goes the search. You're growing, you're expanding, right? Now, there are some people that don't ever go through that process, and they just keep doing what their mamas and daddies did, and they keep doing what that, you know, staying in the same church, believing the same thing over and over and over. They're fine with that. I already talked about how the brain does not like unfamiliarity. it rejects it because it sees it as a threat. So when you bring in new information and it challenges the programming that's already in there, you can either take it and apply it, or you can take it and reject it. But that discerning factor of which one you need to do comes from listening to the soul, not the brain. Because the brain is always going to reject it. But that soul is going to say, hey, I think you better try this here. I think you better try this here. Now, in Tarot, the card that represents the soul is the hermit. And the hermit has on a hood, and it's a very, very solitary energy where the hermit goes within, and the hermit holds up a lamp which represents the light of the soul. And that person is, the atmosphere is dark, and that person is going within themselves, and they are searching. They're blocking everything out. And this is what I tell people to do with new information. If I'm bringing you new information and you need to process it, cut me out. Take my information and go to your soul and consult with your soul and see what it feels like. And if it does not resonate with you, we don't have to work together. And more people need to tell people to do that. Because I guarantee you it's going to resonate with you, though, because a lot of times people are attracted when they are coming out of religion or breaking away from religion, and they just need that little bridge. And I'm just that little bridge that says, hey, and I'm not even the bridge. You're actually the bridge. I just show you your own bridge. I want to be as far out of it as possible. I don't even want to be in it, because my goal is for you to get it and move on. Move on. I don't want to nurse you. I don't want to nurse you, because that is not where I get my satisfaction. I'm even that way with my children. Like, my whole goal is to wean them. I love nursing my kids. I love having them and feeling them eat from me. That's a very powerful feeling, right? And I loved it. I could have had four or five more of them. But it's even better to know that I nourish them enough to go on their own, go forth, be blessed, be fruitful and multiply, do your own thing. And that's how I am with people that I work with. Here are some tools. Don't use them as crutches. Don't get attached. Use them and grow, because nothing bothers me more than to go to a house of worship and see a whole lot of stuck people. I can feel the vibration, which is one of the reasons why nothing ever happened bad to me in church. I have to let people know that. I had a wonderful, wonderful church upbringing with lots of knowledge, very close family, nothing traumatic. I am not going to sit here and act like I had a horrible experience. It was very good. Had a lot of discipline there, a lot of knowledge, a lot of stuff that I built upon. I didn't throw it away. I built upon it and I rearranged it so that I could use it, because some of it I couldn't use. You know, I was like, I got to be able to use this outside of this construct. And I need to be able to rearrange this so I can use it. And that's what people need to understand. It's not reprobate when you graduate from church. People need to graduate. We graduate from kindergarten. We graduate from the fifth grade. We graduate from high school. We graduate from college. We graduate from being children to adults. We graduate from being newlyweds to being happily married and being in a secure relationship. We're constantly graduating. Why is it that people can't graduate from church? I don't understand why somebody feels like they have to spend the rest of their life in this same building talking about the same stuff. And then when somebody says, you know what? It's something behind all this. It's something deeper. It's something more. Of course it is. It's you. It's you. You got to dig through all of that. The church is about principles. God bless it. The church is about principles. But underneath those principles, you got to find yourself. Once you have those principles and then you start applying it, you're supposed to bump into some things that you've never heard or seen before on your own, by yourself, independently. It's supposed to change you. It's supposed to make it so you're never the same again. People always talk about wanting people to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. Well, if I'm transformed, I'm not coming back here.
Come on.
Because I've been transformed. Thank you. Thank you for helping me through this transformation. Bye-bye does not mean reprobate. Bye-bye means I graduate. Churches can see that. They can stop trying to hang on to memberships. And what will happen, what do we have with colleges? We have alumni.
Right.
And alumni give back to the schools that they felt like gave them the
most. My gosh. Oh, my goodness.
So when churches are saying, people aren't giving, people aren't giving, people aren't paying us, and our membership is going down, because you won't let their asses graduate. And you won't give them the tools that they need to go out here and live the life that God assigned to them so they can fulfill their earthly assignment and get in their spiritual careers. But if you let them go, they're going to give back to the place that gave to them. Let them go and stop making them feel so bad.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. Oh, keep going. I felt the Holy Ghost. I felt the Holy Ghost. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Oh
that,
my goodness.
Hey, that's
that,
fine
that is so much
I
revelation. That is so much revelation. Now that's what we call real. Now there's revelation in church, or you know, we should have got revelation and manifestation. Now that's what Jesus, who we know in the scripture, what will happen. He will give the revelation through parable and then the manifestation through healing. Now it's been absent from the church, but why? Because what you just gave was revelation. So if that begins to resonate in someone's soul, they felt your tone. Come on. Then that frequency connects. My
yeah,
God,
I got real hype
on
that one. That wasn't very soothing. But
how did Jesus
minister? Did he hold on to people for membership, or did he heal them and touch them and let them go? What did he do? Please tell me. I need you to tell me. What did he do?
No, he did. Matter of fact, I tell you what, he chose his 12, but there were actually far more disciples than 12. John, the 6th chapter lets us know that. But chapter 6, verse going down about verse 60, Jesus starts talking about eating body and drinking blood, and it's pissing them off. He's got all these disciples. I know they're getting pissed off. You should read it. They're getting pissed off and like, they're saying, this man's crazy, he's nuts. The Bible says that a bunch of them, bunch of the disciples, are people that were following him. Disciples are just people that you say that they're follow Jesus. So it says a bunch of them left him. He turns around to the 12, his main crew, was like, do y'all want to go too?
Right.
I don't – let them go. So right there in that in John 6 chapter, verse 60 down to 60 to 66, they walk away from him. Let them go.
And guess
let
what?
Go.
They're going to come back.
And they're coming
come
back.
Back.
In due season, they'll come. They gotta come back.
Why. But stop telling people they're lost because they leave the church. That's when they are found. That's when they are found. You're supposed to congratulate people when they leave. You're supposed to say, "Look, now I understand you hadn't been here. It lets me know that you have actually grown." When people ask me why I stopped coming to church, They were like, "Are you okay?" Mm-hmm. I said, "I'm better than I've ever been before." People always think something is wrong. Well, once people realize, because I come from a very, very family church. Come from Adventism, so that's like huge. It's like everybody knows everybody. Everybody marries the family. It's very interwoven, so everybody knows everything about you. Where have you been? What have you been doing? Blah, blah, blah. It took about maybe 5 to 10 years for everybody to get it. But now I still have that church family. It's still
come on,
the same.
Come on.
I still have the church family. So if there are funerals or weddings or something that I go to or something like that, they're like, "Oh, my God, how are you?" So I can still go and connect with my Adventist friends all over the world, and we can still have that same thing in common because it's never going to leave. I mean, it's always there. You'll be surprised at some of the people who have advanced and graduated. So you look at it as a graduation and you say, "Oh my God, she's graduated." Because when I go back and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the pastor, I know a good sermon. I come from a family of ministers. I know a good sermon. I can appreciate a good sermon. But oh my God, all of the little dead ends and the little holes and the little loops and the little things that are kind of left off, oh, I fill it up in my head. And I get such a fuller picture of the message than the people who are just sitting there listening to the same stuff every week, and it never dawns on them to think outside of that. And I'm like, "Oh, babies, y'all don't know how you just, you're missing whole blocks of stuff to help you on your journey."
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
This is what I'm going to do. Hold on. We only got 1 minute. This particular show, I'm just going to close it out, and I'm going to let everybody know to go to www.mindscapeartist.com. Go ahead, Harold, and tell everybody where to find you, please.
I'm on Facebook, but please visit my website, www.haroldtimberlake.com. Divine Self Discovery is my business. Follow me on Instagram, Divine Self Discovery. I am there. Let's connect.
Okay. All right. So that's the end of that. We can continue to talk. Those who are still listening, you can continue to listen, but it won't be recorded.
Okay. Well, I'm so grateful because we got some good stuff in that recording. Let me tell you something. That is heavy. Oh my gosh. Let me tell you something about that graduation. I'm going to tell you, Dr. Candy, I definitely will reference you because if I say something that I've heard from somewhere else or read, I'm going to give that person that. I love how you put that graduating from the church. I've never in my life thought like that right there. That was the revelation in that. And the alumni coming back, because what you stated is me. You know, here's a pastor left the church.
Us.
Yeah. So you were talking about I'm sitting there losing my mind, going crazy, like I'm hearing the word. You know, because and I am hearing the word through the Spirit, and it's causing my soul to leap, like it was when Mary shows up at Elizabeth. No, who shows up? Mary shows up at Elizabeth's house. Mary hits the door, the baby jumps inside of Elizabeth. Right in the scripture. And that's what I was doing. I'm leaping over here. My goodness. I was leaping when you were talking because I could feel it in my soul. That was special.
I think that self-righteousness that jumps in people when people graduate from the church is a little bit of jealousy. I've seen it in people's eyes. I know what jealousy looks like. And when you haven't been to church and you look good and you feel good and you're healthy and you're not addicted to anything and you don't have – and they're confused. They're confused. They're like, what happened? What was it? I took what I learned from you,
right?
And I graduated. I didn't go down, but people that go down, they never got the lessons. So you can call them the high school dropouts, you know what I'm saying, which is fine, because there are high school dropouts that have become millionaires, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Definitely.
Right.
Nothing there. But those who drop out never made – those who drop out and go down never made – the connection between the wand in their hand, the rod, i.e.
the rod
that can part the Red Sea.
Woo. Come on,
and
their
soul, with their soul, the conduit of their soul.
Yes.
So when you don't make that connection, because the church is the conduit, when you take that rod and you leave the church, it doesn't work anymore. You got to connect it to the wrong outlet. So you take the rod and you take the conduit of the church and disconnect that and connect it to your soul. As soon as you walk out the church door,
it
works everywhere you go.
Everywhere you go.
It works.
Oh, my goodness. Do you know that one of the things is and that's why I'm really excited about New Birth, excited about what you're doing, and as people are coming into a place of consciousness, that if they catch what we're saying in their soul, people will take the message back to the building, to where the gathering of so many sleepy people are.
Yeah,
and they could literally change the trajectory of their church. You want to see healing? I'll show you healing.
Yeah.
You want to see the manifestation happen? I'll show you that. If they literally take it, then churches will be what we think they should be. You know what I'm saying? They will actually be that, a place of healing, a place of love, a place of togetherness. People will see Christ because the Christ will be living in them. They had a Christ mind, and God will be present. And then Genesis 11 can come to pass, and Acts 2 can come to pass, and where the people come together, God shows up.
God shows up.
God shows up. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. People say, it's a miracle. No, it's
just God woke up. And guess
God
what?
Showed up. And, yeah. Go ahead.
Going back to the very basic, the concept of the people will change.
Come on. Yes.
When you change the concept of yourself through the power of God in you and not out there, you don't even think about being an overcomer. Again, you know you are. Remember the knowing? People look at you and say, what in the world are you doing? And you're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And you don't know what they're talking about because you are being it.
You're being it.
We're called human beings.
Being.
Because we are
being.
To be. Not because we are to try.
Yes, come on.
We are to be. And when you are trying to live a religion, a religion is only to instill principles. I'm not against it. I have to keep saying that. People need those principles taught to them. Just like going to school, I needed my teacher to kind of teach me how to write. I still can't really write. My handwriting's terrible. But I needed my teacher to teach me how to write. I needed my teacher to kind of show me what 2 + 2 was. I needed somebody to show me what please excuse my dear Aunt Sally meant. I needed that.
I'm so
grateful for that. I've graduated from that. Right?
You graduated. Come on.
I graduated.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm grateful for it. So I don't want to go in necessarily and shut the schools down. I don't.
No.
But you know how they talk about the Montessori method? where the child learns from nature. The child learns from being involved. The child is at the center of the learning, not the subject.
I feel the crossover. Yes.
Right.
I call it that, what you just did, that Montessori. Go ahead. Keep going. Yes, keep going. It's a crossover.
Yeah, so that's what's missing in churches. Keep the church.
Right.
But you need to make the people the center, like you said, not the religion.
Yes.
This is not about religion, people. This is about people. And this is why people, when you go to a marketing class, when you go to a marketing class, the first thing they tell you is you got to connect with your customer. If your customer don't feel like you connect with them, they don't want to buy nothing from you.
Mm.
Churches are connecting people to religion. Religion is a construct. It's an idea. It is a man-made institution. People can't connect with that. That's why people are having a hard time connecting in marriages, because marriage is a institution, and people meet each other. The soul hasn't connected. That conduit is not there. And we think if we go to the chapel and we say, I do, within this marital construct, a magic is going to happen, and you and I are going to be husband and wife forever. How true is that? How true is that?
Right.
I haven't connected to Harold. Harold, I don't even know what you like. I don't even know.
Right.
Look, I don't even care what you like. You know what? I just want you to be my husband. Okay?
Mm.
So people can feel that when you're going after them for membership. I don't really care what you like. I just want you to come and fill my pew so you can feed my ego. And I need you to pay your tithe. And I need you to follow the instructions so I can look at everybody and tell everybody what a wonderful congregation I have. Okay. Well, you got a whole bunch of people who felt lost, and they are under the mindset that if they go in this building that they're going to be found. It's only a matter of time before they catch on to the fact that they still haven't found themselves, so they go off searching again. They're supposed to go searching. Seeking ye shall find. Knocking the door shall be open. Okay, well, what are you looking for? You're looking for yourself. Well, if I'm walking into a religion, that religion's going to give me a set of principles, but that set of principles is being used to fulfill the prophecy of religion, not to fulfill the prophecy of my personal walk with the higher self. So I'm not rising. I'm at your church. I'm building your church. I'm giving to your church. I'm praising in your church. But I don't feel no elevation. I don't feel like I'm learning. I don't feel like I'm graduating to the next level. So I'm going to stay home. I'm going to stay home. And when I stay home, something magical happens. I start hearing my own voice. Oh, my God, who was that? That wasn't Pastor. That was, oh, my God, that was the most amazing voice I've ever heard. I need to look more into that. And then a knock is at my door, and it's like, oh, Miss Candy, I haven't seen you at church for a while. What are you doing? Well, I'm growing and I'm expanding. Oh, that's impossible. You can't be. I haven't seen you at church. You can't be. And then you just lost somebody because you didn't acknowledge their expansion. You know, same with our children. When they begin to expand and they want to leave us, we tell them they can't. You're not strong enough. You don't know what you're doing. How in the world are you going to make it? How are you going to pay your rent? You're only making $10 an hour. What are you talking about? They're expanding. I'm guilty of that. I've done that. I'm guilty of that. You're not ready. I'm looking with my parent eye, which is the worst eye we can look with. I'm not looking with my spiritual eye. I'm not looking with the expansive eye of actually what is going to light up when that child goes out there and tries to do it, and then they come back and say, oh, my God, I'm able to do it. I did it. And I'm like, oh, you did. Great. But, you know, it could go that way. But as a parent, as a pastor, as a teacher, as someone who thinks we have authority, we screw it all up because it's not like we think it should be. in our tiny minds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to
tiny
myself
mind.
On that.
Come on.
I'm talking to myself on that because now I am, I said I like for my kids to be independent, but at the same time, I got a little critical spirit where I'm like, well, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you, you know, my little mind kind of shrinks a little bit when it comes to them. And I posted that post where it says, you can't worry about somebody and love them at the same time. We confuse the emotion of worry with the emotion of love, and worry is fear. And if you're worrying, you're not loving. And that's the biggest lesson I've had to learn about life and about raising my kids. I can't worry about them and love them at the same time. I can't worry about if you love me in a relationship and love you at the same time. I'm focusing on the wrong thing. I just need to, my mother used to always say, do your part. And I didn't know what that meant. Do your part. Mama, but what about this and what about, do your part. But they're not doing this and they're not, do your part. So many of us are not doing our parts. We're worried about other people's parts.
My.
Well,
that's a word. That's a word.
Yeah, I think
that's
I'm gonna
good.
Let you
that's
guys
good.
Go, and we're gonna have to do this again as usual.
Okay.
I'm so glad you came on. I didn't put
so
you
glad.
In because I didn't know how long we were gonna do this, but put you in the title.
Oh no! I'm just happy to. I made some contribution, and that you've allowed me to come on and say something. I loved it. It was absolutely good and beautiful, beautiful conversation. I hate that that last part you just gave didn't make the tape, but
I'm gonna say it again. You better believe it.
The only thing is it won't. However you say it, I'm sure I know it's in you, but it won't come out the same way. That was a beautiful, what I would call a rendition, you know.
Yeah.
And I just hate that that didn't make the tape. Oh man. So,
okay,
but
I
got it.
In the meantime, I will be back on and reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.